Holy smokes!
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty and the blonde bomber that Clint doesn't like. And Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, and we'll hear from Moneybags in a little bit. The latest is, first, it is 5 o'clock fire, and 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. Second, the injury report is out, fellas, and it's a little better than last week. A little bit better than last week. As we sit here on a Wednesday, Azeez Alshire did not practice. Steven Sims, who didn't make the trip last week with the back issue, he did not practice. Neither did Jimmy Ward and now Robert Woods. By the way, Robert Woods, man, he hadn't practiced in about 3 weeks now. Robert Woods with that foot issue.
We got to be going on a month of Robert Woods, don't we?
Jimmy Ward didn't think not hearing positive signs that he'll return this week against the Colts with that groin issue. But Laremy Tunsil limited in practice with the ankle. Henry Toa and Kamari Laster, they both returned to practice in a limited role. Foley Fatakasa, he was battling that shoulder issue, was limited. And Will Anderson shows up with a chest issue, was limited. But Azeez and Jimmy Ward, Robert Woods, Steve Sims, those are the big ones there, Clint. And I guess if we just look at it from a really positive standpoint, if this trend continues and they can get Kamari Lassiter and Henry Toa, if they could just get at least those two guys back, I think Henry's really big for this game in terms of stopping the run with Jonathan Taylor, who, by the way, the other side of that injury report, DeForest Buckner, Jonathan Taylor, you could argue their two best players, they have been injured, missed games. They are back practicing, so they are in line to get on the field on Sunday. But to me, Henry Toa, Kamari Laster's a story here in a big way if those guys can continue to trend to play.
Those are the two headliners, man. I mean, to think that if you could possibly get Henry Toa back, even though coming off of a concussion, playing the linebacker position, going up against this offense that I think is going to probably be a little bit more committed to the run downhill between the tackles. I don't know that that's a great situation for Henry Toa coming off of a concussion to be in, but having him back at practice in any role is tremendous. And then Kamari Lassiter, him being back as well. We saw last week D'Angelo Ross just was targeted multiple times early in the ball game and really throughout the ball game by Jordan Love. And we have yet to see that happen with Kamari Lassiter on the field. So obviously getting him back in a cover defender role would be big.
Yeah, and as I said, the linebackers, we'll see. Like, you feel all right about Neville Hewitt and Hanson getting away with it for 1 week, but for a team that really uses the quarterback and the running back, multiple backs, that's what they want to do. But if you can get one of those, at least one of those guys back, the front level guys, I wonder. We'll talk about this here in a bit. Devin White, I wonder if he's gonna be on the field and get time, just because this particular matchup. And I do agree with you. I don't think Shane Steichen is going to, unless the Texans offense just goes off in this game, I don't think Shane Steichen is going to get away from the running game like he did before. So in the middle there is going to be a big key in this game.
Yeah, to your question, I mean, Neville Hewitt and Jake Hanson, there's no reason not to believe that they can't play well. They did last week against a big-time play-action opponent versus a team that has been a better running attack than the Indianapolis Colts. I think they could handle it. I just, when you look at Neville Hewitt and Jake Hanson having to be the down in, down out backers, that all the ripple effect is the special teams as well. And then you look at the linebacker crew, you're down to your last line of defense. You really don't have anybody healthy to spell those guys at the actual linebacker position. So I believe that those guys in a vacuum can get the job done, but it would be very beneficial if there were somebody else that D'Amico had confidence in that could get be a significant part of a rotational piece there and give those guys a little bit of a break so in the fourth quarter you're a little bit more fresh. At least you have options.
Yep. So we'll be looking at that. The guys will look at Azeez Alshire. There have been kind of reports that this feels like more than a week off. The same with Jimmy Ward. We'll see about Robert Woods. Haven't really heard a lot about Robert Woods. So that is the latest there. Injury report, again, if you missed it, the Colts, two of their guys that haven't been playing here, two of their best players, DeForest Buckner on the interior and Jonathan Taylor, look like they're set to return.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, somebody, I kind of teased this on the other side. Somebody said bait question. It's not. I think the big deal, this was early in the morning. I think I saw Tyler texting me at the same time that I was tweeting out a response that DeAndre Hopkins and the Chiefs were finalizing a trade. He has been traded to Kansas City from Tennessee. Tennessee gets a fifth round pick that could turn into a fourth round pick depending on production. I think Super Bowl appearance has something to do with that.
Got to get to the Super Bowl, well, and he's got to play 60% or more, yep, of the snap.
So, that is kind of the details of the trade there. But he goes to Kansas City, and I'm serious about this. There was, you know, a like with Andre, and I'm not saying that DeAndre's up to this level. For some, it may be, but guys like Andre and guys like JJ, guys like I think DeAndre Hopkins, there is a follow. I think a lot of people were rooting and hoping maybe that JJ did get a chance to play in a big game, play in a Super Bowl, play in a championship game. I'm wondering, are Texans fans happy for DeAndre Hopkins? Happy that he may get a chance to play on the big stage? Happy that he's not just, you know, at a 1-5 place?
Yeah.
Just happy for him. I wonder, because I know there's a care for the fan base for a guy like DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, look, I mean, he was beloved when he was here, for sure. He didn't leave on bad terms. Yeah, I mean, hell, yeah. It's one of the worst trades in hell, probably NFL history, actually. But the I can't speak for the fans, but I can speak for myself. I like DeAndre Hopkins. I think, you know, a guy that plays that long and is that good deserves a chance to play with a team that has a legitimate chance to win. Now, I wish it wasn't the Kansas City Chiefs, and I wish it wasn't the team that's on our schedule, unfortunately. But the reality of it is, I'm going to hate it if he's playing well, in particular when the Texans play Kansas City. But outside of that, I like to see good things happen to dude, man. I enjoyed the hell out of him covering him when he was here. He was a hell of a player. There's no doubt about it. He had to fight through some things with Bill O'Brien's way of doing business, and it's good to see him.
Like, how many playoff games has DeAndre Hopkins played in? I think he only played one with the Cardinals, and that's since he left the Texans. And I mean, obviously, he played in the Buffalo and the Kansas City game, played in the Colts game in which the Colts came in here and won. I mean, he has not played in that many postseason, you know, games, that many opportunities. Yeah. So, yeah, coming from the text line, happy. Happy for what? No, I'm not happy about a Hopkins trade. I'm not happy about any move that makes the Texans' road to the Super Bowl more difficult. Nukes' ass, you'll love this, Clint. Nukes' ass is washed up and going to be and going to a conference foe. Not happy. I'm so happy for D-Hop, but I'm sad for me, because earlier something about his quarterback kind of broke up there. But first of all, I don't think he's he's not the same player that he was when he was here, but I don't think he's washed. And I think there are some people may say that his season thus far, 15 catches and one touchdown, is not the normal. But I don't think
he's, you know, the leading receiver for the Titans had?
What?
18 catches.
Ooh, big 1-8. Was it the tight end?
No, it was the Ridley kid.
Ridley? Oh, I didn't think he was getting balls.
18. Well, ain't nobody was getting balls, don't sound like.
Yeah.
18, 15, 17. They got some interesting stuff going on.
I don't care. I don't care what my ex is doing after we part ways.
Yeah, you must have done found somebody else, because if not, you're lying.
Oh, man. I'm just curious. I'm wondering where Texans fans are with D-Hop. But he goes to Kansas City. We'll see what he does. As I said to you, you think he plays Sunday?
I think he plays Sunday. Play the Raiders? Yes, yeah. I think he plays Sunday. And just connecting the dots here of DeAndre Hopkins and Pat and Kelsey I think he plays well. I don't know that he goes back and he's playing the same caliber ball he was playing here with Deshaun Watson when they were lighting it up. But I think he's still got some tread left on the tire. And I think it's a good fit in Kansas City, boys.
It's a real mix here. It's a real mix here on the text line. That's it. Absolutely happy. Go D-Hop.
5 o'clock fire.
And there's other things that are being said, so we'll get that. All right. Last night, history was made, and Ken Griffey Sr., Ken Griffey Jr. were right there in the front row in attendance to see it, and that is LeBron and Bronny James make history, take the court together with the Lakers, and they played a strong 2 minutes together, and that's all that Bronny played as well. He played a strong 2 minutes, probably about to head to the G League as soon as they...
They didn't start, did they?
No, they didn't start, but J.J. Redick, who made his debut. By the way, the Lakers did win 110-103 over
Tyler won a little money.
Yeah, he did. He won some money, I think, multiple bets. I think he had good stuff with the Celtics, too. He went
3 for 4.
3 for 4. I'm saying I wasn't going to go for the ones he missed. Had the good one with Jason Tatum. Had over 9.5 assists. But that was the big story, even though they got the win. Anthony Davis was the big story when it came to the basketball game. But boy, there are some real mixed feelings. I've seen some real good arguments about people who was like, hey, man, this was an awesome moment for a father and a son. And then people who just want to throw up all over themselves.
Well, I think two things can be true.
I mean, they can be. I don't know if they are here.
I mean, I think it's tremendous for them. I mean, but, you know, in the world we live in today, boy, That's ain't no way that makes sense.
He did look a little small out there, didn't he?
He did. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a huge LeBron fan. I appreciate the greatness. I don't know his family's name and don't claim to be a godfather. I'm a fan. I mean, I admire and respect what he does. I would prefer Bronny go out there and light that thing on fire, and we get to follow that story of him kicking ass and being an integral part of what they do. But
I tried to will that three in that he shot. Just didn't have a prayer.
So you don't think it lasts long, huh? You think he ends up in the G League?
Well, yeah, he's going to go to the G League. I mean, like I said, man, he looked like it was everybody was a little bit bigger than him. in every way. Well, I don't mean it like that in every way, yeah. But it is like the size. He didn't look like he was ready for that. Yeah, as soon as the G League starts going, he'll go down there, and hopefully, for him, it gets better and improved.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, speaking of guys who have been talked about looking smaller than everybody, the Panthers are going to start Bryce Young. Clint coming up on Sunday as Andy Dalton got in a car accident, didn't hurt his thumb. So Bryce Young, they turn back to him to start. And to me, I don't know, obviously they're saying this happened because of Andy's thumb, but I mean they're not going anywhere and weren't going anywhere. And like to me, I would think it would be make the most sense to take the rest of the year to see exactly what you have with Bryce Young. Maybe they feel like they already know it and that's what they did, but to see and give him every opportunity since you traded heaven and earth to get him, and you're still seeing your trade pieces with the Chicago Bears reap a positive thing for them. I would at least see for the rest of the year as much as I can what he's bringing to the table, because the hell, the team, you ain't got nobody over there. They ain't going nowhere. It makes more sense for him to be in there than Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was obviously. It appears dead wrong once again on Drake May in terms of him being ready. He appears after a couple of games to be more than ready and playing well. But the only positive thing going on in New England, the thought, I guess, the overall is like playing a young quarterback before they're ready, when they just get out there and get overwhelmed day in day out, is awful for their career. And so if if Bryce Young is ready, which I hadn't watched his tape from earlier in the year, but clearly they benched him so he wasn't ready. But if he's mentally ready to handle the adversity that comes with quarterback and a bad football team for a year or two, then, yeah, throw him back out there and let it ride. See what happens.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's the number one pick. I mean, you got to give him more than two games with the brand new coach you brought in to fix it. I would think that before you
turn to Andy Dalton, but they already did that.
Yeah. All right. Coming up, a lot of people have had a hard time struggling with this loss against the Packers and have had a hard time trying to turn the page. But you're going to have to, and the Texans are ready to turn that page to play this game on Sunday. My question for many of you, and I'm not trying to bait anything, I just want your honest thought. Is this game concerning you about how the Texans have played? Is this game on Sunday a big, big game in the division concerning you? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive again. Tomorrow, come hang out with The Drive. The Drive will be live Thirsty Thursdays. We will be at the Buffalo Wild Wings, same location we were at last week, right off Tomball Parkway and on the other side of the highway near Willowbrook Mall in Willowbrook Plaza. I stopped myself from walking over to that marble slab afterwards.
Discipline, baby.
Discipline, I wanted to. But no, man, it'll be a good time. Thirsty Thursday, prizes that you can win, usually tickets you can win. Our good friends at Bud Light hold it down. The Bud Light girls got some drinks and some fun things for you as well. So come hang out with us tomorrow, Willowbrook Plaza, right near Willowbrook Mall off Tomball Parkway. Come hang out with us. And enjoy yourself. A little Thirsty Thursday. Make a bad decision or six. It's a good time here. Good time. So come hang out. Hang out with us. All right. I see it already. And I'm wondering. Like we've heard from DeMeco, and it seems like each time we hear from some members of the staff, it just seems to fire some of you up even more. I can't wait to hear what Bobby Slowick's going to say tomorrow and see if it just charges.
Well, Bobby is one, and again, at a time when we're all ripping Bobby a new one, I mean,
Bobby's standing in line just getting low blows from
everybody.
Well,
I mean, Bobby ain't, he hadn't been shy at some, now he may tiptoe around it, but at some point in his comments, he'll get down to, all right, we're running out of time now. We understand we got to get better, so. I'm damn sure going to be tuned into what Bobby has to say tomorrow. That's for sure.
I can't wait. But listen, this is a game, however it goes, Clint,
mm-hmm.
against the Colts, because the Texans are 5-2 and because the Colts are 4-3. However this goes, right? You can obviously, you see the record, you could see if each team won what that would mean. This is a potential turning point in the season. A turning point to, hey, the Texans have really, you know, grabbed hold of this division, and you can see they're poised to be a playoff team unless something crazy happens moving down. Or a turning point to, hey, this thing right now ain't about, you know, the trying to get to the Chiefs or trying to get to the Ravens or trying to get whatever. This thing is about, hey, we're in a dogfight. We're tied up with the Colts in the division, and we've got the tougher schedule the rest of the way. So it's a turning point one way or another in this game. And we saw how the first one went. It was tight. 29-27, there were some plays that the Texans made, big plays late. There were some plays throughout the game that the Colts missed and probably wish they had back. And I said, are you concerned? Are you nervous? You concerned about this game? I see some people texting in. Clint, I'll just say this. I think the Texans have the better team. I think the Texans have the advantage because they're at home. I think the Texans have the better quarterback. I think the Texans have the better coaching staff. But I'm not going to lie to you. There is a small bit of, I feel like I should be more comfortable and confident that they will win this game. But the way they've played in certain ways combined with what the Colts can do, I'm not as confident as I would think I would be, especially when I think they got the better team, they've got the advantage at home, I think they got the better coaching staff.
Yeah, I'm not nervous about this game against the Colts. My confidence level in the Texans in terms of being a Super Bowl caliber football team has been rocked. It's shook. I'm off the train. I'm off the roller coaster. I'm not going to live this week to week stuff until they at least give me one win that we can point at and say, boy, that right there was awfully impressive. And it's, I'm not nervous at all about the game, because I feel like if the Texans show up and they just play just average Texans football, nothing great, just again, don't have 42 penalties and don't turn the ball over three or four times, then I think they're going to beat the Colts.
You think if they play the same way they played game one, they beat the Colts?
I can't remember how that game went down. Wasn't it they got out to a big lead and then gave it up in the second half?
Yeah, I mean the Colts missed some big plays.
That, yeah, I remember
turned
that.
Around
remember
and yeah, they held. You know, I mean, they ran the clock out. Basically, the Colts needed to stop.
They ran it really well. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just.
That wasn't an A game.
For I'm them. Nervous about the Texans. I'm not nervous about this game in the Colts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm at a spot with the Texans where it's real easy right now to lean into 5-2. Whether you're a fan that doesn't, you know, you just look at the 5-2, and so you accept everything that's going on around and you just keep it moving, or you're in the building over there and the 5-2, the 5-2 record is masking and making you feel a lot better about what's going on than the actual Texans product. Like, I'm just, the 5-2 doesn't do anything for me. Like, looking back and how you got to 5-2, like, it doesn't do a whole lot for me at this point in time, to be completely honest with you. The Texans have played subpar Texans football for the majority of those games. And I think that's hell, they said that. That's not me. That's them saying it. So I'm shook with the Texans. I'm not nervous about
not
the Colts.
Not in this game. From the text line, people are chiming in on it. This game this week definitely has me concerned. The whole season, this squad has been teetering on the cuss word label, and it's frustrating. This should be a Super Bowl-type team, and they're not. Concerning, hell yeah, this game is a huge game, and yet I have no confidence in this team. With that line and those tight ends, I'd be concerned if they were playing U of H with this line. Okay, they lost 41-14 to Kansas last week. I don't think you'd be concerned about that. It's the most important game this season thus far. Yes, I'm concerned. So it looks like there are some people who are concerned about this game. I don't know. I think maybe a lot of people are thinking about the. If it goes wrong, what the outcome, like, you know, where that goes, because it changes the season. Yeah, I think there's a turning point to it, though, Clint. If they lose this game, I think you thought you looked at them differently after the Packers. I think now they lose this game and they're in a dogfight with the Colts right now. That's a different space of, I think, yeah. A week ago, like, hey, man, could they be a 2 seed? Could they be a 1 seed? Could they be... You know, now if they lose this, now it's not everybody else, it's the Colts. But they win it, I think.
Yeah,
the
division becomes an issue. Instead of the conversation about being a top team in the AFC, all of a sudden you're in a dogfight for the division. Yeah, that's very possible. It's very, very possible. But I believe the Texans are going to have to play down to the Colts in order for that to happen. Now, it may happen. They've shown the ability to do that, and so we'll see what Texans team shows up.
Yeah, people are trying to shut up to these non-believers.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, they, like I said, they're the better quarterback, the better team overall, and there should be some extra juice for this whole week and what happened in the last game. There should be some extra juice at home for the Texans to kind of get themselves going. So, all right, coming up. T-Mill's best bets. We'll get to that. He's got he did some winning last night, and he's got some bets ready for you tonight, a little NBA best bets tonight. And And we'll get our thoughts on the new move that was made by the Texans. They bring in a former Pro Bowler. We'll get the thoughts of that coming up next right here live on the Drive.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
And finally, we got some believers in here, some fighting Tylers in here, not concerned about this game or even the winning the division. Oh, never mind. But I see them as a one and done in the playoffs if they don't fix things. But if they don't fix things, I got you. That makes it. Should be fun. Tyler's T-Mill's best bets coming up in here in just a bit. If you are rolling in late, the news this morning kind of that kind of broke through here was the Texans made a move. They added a linebacker. They added a former top 10 pick, a former Pro Bowl linebacker that's 26 years old. Man, this all sounds amazing, doesn't it? Just added him off the yep. streets. Didn't even trade for him when you just start saying it. Devin White, the Eagles let him go, and he was there available, and the Texans brought him in. DeMeco talked about it. Hell, CJ talked about it, said that they're happy to see what he can do and how and where he is and how he can help them. And I guess for me, Clint, your thoughts when you first saw this, you first heard of this move, now you got a little bit of time to kind of digest it. Your thoughts about the Devin White move?
Well, I mean, for me, I immediately thought a guy that obviously was great not very long ago. And I immediately thought, boy, this could be a Mario Edwards type situation. As you get in DeMeco Ryan's system, you're playing DeMeco Ryan's position. And if he can get this guy, Devin White, to play and even remotely close to where he was when he was one of the top three or four linebackers in football for a couple of years. If he can get him back anywhere remotely close to that, then you really have something. You add him to a group that, if and when they get healthy, is already pretty damn good. My thought was, boy, you got a veteran here that has played some really good ball and just needs that opportunity, and that opportunity to lock arms with DeMeco Ryans could be special. And then I went back and looked it up. I did not realize that Devin White is a fifth-year pro and in his fifth year hadn't pissed a drop. I mean, you're talking about a young dude here.
26.
I mean, he was drafted top 10 in 2019. By the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a guy that should be and physically is in his prime. I mean, in terms of your body functioning and executing and firing and being like working efficiently, like he physically should be in his prime. Unless there's an injury that is you know, has caused him to just completely fall off a cliff. Maybe that's why he was on the streets, whatever. That I'm not aware of. But boy, there is a real possibility that this system, this organization could do for him what they did for Mario Edwards in year five of his career instead of year, what is it, nine for Mario Edwards. That would be big, adding some depth at the linebacker position once everybody gets healthy. So that's where my mind immediately went was boy, this dude, not very long ago, was absolutely special.
One of the best at his position in the league. Mm-hmm. Listening to you, listening to B. Scott, who joined us with his Texans report at 4:40. You can go back and listen to that. I hope this move was made, Clint, in the thought of like, hey, that's a young guy, as you just said, that used to be really, really good. We just want to add really good football players to our team. And what could he be? And is there still some, you know, in the tank, and we get him in our system, we get him with our coaching staff and DeMeco, and this guy blossoms back into the guy that he was before. And I hope that is the reasoning why they went in that direction. My just concern is I hope this had nothing to do with any of the other players that are linebackers here that they felt like they needed to go make a move to go get him. Because of, hey, does this mean some kind of setback happened with Christian Harris, who is now, like, by the way, folks, I just want to make this clear. and maybe we need to start doing some sort of watch. Christian Harris has passed the Kyle Tucker time frame at this point. Kyle Tucker missed more time than it now has been for Christian Harris. So I don't know. Like, for me, I'm wondering, I hope this is a, hey, we see a player, we want to bring him in because he can really help us, you know, this year and down the line. But I hope it doesn't have anything to do with, hey, Azeez Alshire and this knee maybe a little bit more as he doesn't practice again today, or Christian Harris and maybe this calf thing is worse than we thought and we're pushing past 3 months. I just hope that didn't have anything to do with
it. Well, I'm sure it does. I mean, I know you're hoping it does, but I'm sure it does. I mean, for the time being, for the short, for the next couple of weeks, I'm sure that it does have something to do with making sure that there's depth and making sure that you have at least a plan. I think Jake Hansen and Neville Hewitt played damn near every snap last week. So I would imagine that the smart thing to do is to bring somebody in here and give yourself at least an emergency, some emergency depth. And if Devin White gets back to playing football any remotely close to what Devin White was, then you got an even sweeter deal than you thought. I mean, I think it's very low risk because you get him off the streets, and it's extremely high reward because you're talking about a guy that it's in his prime years, and hopefully D'Amico can unlock him. So. Yeah. I think it's probably a little bit of all of the above.
You think he's out there Sunday? You think he gets any?
Ooh, that would be a tough. That'd be a tough.
That's different than a DeAndre Hopkins being on the field.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because everything is so reactionary on the defensive side of the football. I think it would be a tall ask. It'd be a big ask to say, hey, go out there and you know where to line up, know the tendencies, know the reads, know everything. And react in a way that you got to stop Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor coming downhill. I mean, possibly, but boy, I think that would be a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, if you remember those years, him and Levante David were maybe a best duo there in the middle there in terms of inside linebackers for the Packers. For the Bucks. All right, coming up here in just a second, T-Mill's best bets. He'll recap yesterday and look at what he's got for tonight. Remember. Coming up after us, Texans All Access, GM Nick Caserio will be on at 6 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. And then we're live and local until midnight, 8 o'clock, Area 45. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Chris Santiago. I see Chris Santiago in the building already. They will hold it down from 8 until midnight. All right. Give us your best bets. I know you, as you said, you won 3 out of 4 yesterday, made a little cash.
Yeah, 3 out of 4. Only one that did not hit yesterday was that first half over for the Lakers and T-Wolves.
That was the T-Wolves' fault.
But a strong start to the NBA betting season for your boy.
There you go. Make some money. All right, make the people some more money. What you got tonight?
We dipped a toe yesterday. I gave you those 4 best bets. Gonna up the ante a little bit tonight. There was a little more I liked. A little more action out on the hardwood tonight. I got 6 for you. Pencil, pen, whatever you need, have it ready. Miami Heat, I got their money line. Like the odds, take the Heat money line. I got the Jazz minus 2.5 points tonight. I got the Pelicans minus 5.5. I have the Magic and Heat game going over 208 points.
With Miami in it, huh?
Mm-hmm. I like it. And then I got 2 player props for you real quick. Halliburton, under 9.5 assists. Those odds are glorious, and I think that will hit for sure. And then I got our own, the Houston Rocket, Van Vliet, under 7.5 assists tonight at Toyota Center. I think he's going to be looking to score a whole lot more, and he's going to be looking to set his teammates up. So
yeah, I was eyeing those 2 player props you got down there, looking at this group. Boy, I mean, just the Magic and the Heat. Boy, I wonder, just Miami just likes to suffocate people defensively, and their games just seem to be kind of slow. That one makes me nervous. The Fred one, I really like that one.
That might be my favorite one for tonight.
I like that one. You said you got you're taking the under?
Yes, under 7.5 assists for Fred.
Yeah, I just don't know how many people on the other end of it's going to be knocking down these shots is my thing. I don't know. I mean, Reed Shepherd. We'll see
what their
shooting is like. With that, I think they'll win tonight. I think the Rockets will beat the Hornets, but and I think we'll see a lot of Jalen Green with the ball in his hand, kind of initiating offense. I think Şengün will see take turns at doing that too. The Haliburton one though, I don't know about that one, Tyler.
You don't like that one.
Well, they're playing the Pistons and they force high tempo. And their high assist team, I don't know about the under on that one. He feels like a 10, 11, 12 assist guy tonight against the Pistons. So we'll see about that. We'll see what you go tonight.
Get a heater going.
Hey, we got to clear something up here, T. You said Jazz minus 2.5, and on your graphic here, you got them plus 2.5.
That's what I meant.
So it's Jazz plus 2.5.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I was just cleaning that up for you. I'm not
for sure. I didn't realize I said minus.
I'm going to go with the Pelicans minus 5.5. At home against the Bulls. I think the Pels take this one big. I think it's a double digit dub here.
So you like the Pels bet. Ron likes the Van Vliet prop the most. Van Vliet one, yeah. And Ron hates my Haliburton bet.
I just think it's going to be an up and down game.
I mean, you basically said I'm going to lose money tonight, man.
The whole theme is best bets. You have to pick the ones you hate.
They're all the best.
That Hornets one. I mean, I'm sorry, that Pelicans one. I know many people have said it. I feel like this is the year Zion.
This is it, huh? I don't know if it's a year, but I need it to be tonight is the night.
Been a while since that guy's shoes exploded off.
Have you seen him?
Is he in shape?
Yeah. He did that.
For now.
It was earlier in the summer.
Did he leave that porn star alone?
Did she leave him alone is the question.
Well, I'm sure.
She hounded him.
I thought that was Stroud with Amber.
No, he had Mariah.
Oh.
I've watched. Well, let me stop there. But I mean, he's
Ron gonna get in trouble.
I think he let her. But I saw him at a event where he was some basketball kids event for kids or whatever. And I mean, he looked like every bit of 40 pounds.
Really?
That he had dropped.
It makes me feel like better about it too.
It was people showing it looked like he looked sick.
Oh, he lost it, and Harden probably got it.
He's got a bodysuit. No, we'll see. I do. I think this is the year Zion gets it. I think this is the year that Zion kind of picks it up. Because he was showing it in the playoffs. And then, like, in the play-in game and then the playoffs, he was rolling until he got injured. He got hurt again, which kind of is his thing with that weight, too. He got himself hurt, but I think this is it. I am trying to get on that Zion.
How you feel about my best bet?
What's up, guys?
I just got no clue what the Bulls, what they're
bringing to the table.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think any of us do at this point, Tom.
but still with DeRozan, like that, I didn't know what direction we're in. They let him go to the Kings and they're trying to roll with Kobe White to kind of step forward. I don't really know.
Tyler, can you go ahead. You got enough room for me?
I'm actually completely tapped out for now.
See, man.
He's got a lot of action, man.
He is unreliable.
You just got to get to me earlier.
See, he can, like, this is, boy, you could really get yourself on player props. Like, you could really get yourself.
Those are my baby.
Like, loaded up. And now he can do parlays with them?
Yeah, but he don't have no room for me to bet hardly ever.
God, I wonder what the bet was for three-pointers made by the Celtics last night. Because whatever that was, they made 29 threes last night.
How many did they shoot? 39?
No, they probably shot 60. I mean, they made 17 in the first half. Honest to God, I want to count how many games it's going to take the Rockets to get to 29 threes. I think it may be in game 3 before they reach 29.
I'm going to go dose.
You got two. I think game 3 until they get to 29. All right, we appreciate everybody hanging out with us. Remember, come out with us tomorrow, a little thirsty Thursday. Buffalo Wild Wings, the good people at Bud Light. Willowbrook Plaza right off Tomball Parkway. Come hang out with us tomorrow as we'll have a good time. A lot of prizes for you to have a chance to win. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Shout out to B. Scott for joining the show today. thanks to D'Amico and CJ who were on the show, kinda. We appreciate you as well. Don't break it now. Have a good time now. Don't break it now. I am Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
I'm a tad, a teeny, chee-weeny, whiny, little.
What'd you call Tyler? What did you just call Tyler?
It's tiny, hiny, man. He said, get
teeny,
it right.
He said teeny, weeny, Tyler.
I said teeny, inchy. Tyler's big.
Schmedium.
Is that with the fire ant or no?
You're thieves.
Yeah.
I love D'Amico. Would die for CJ. Everyone knows that. All right with me.